I'm not quitting. I'll be back later. Just right now, I want some zombie takeout. Welcome to episode 219 of Zombie Takeout, the B-movie and cult movie podcast. I'm Uncle John.
And I'm Scotto.
And before we get to this week's movie, we've got some unfortunate news. Trailer Clash has decided to call it quits. Roberto said that doing a weekly show on top of having a full-time job and a family was getting to be a bit too much of a chore, so he's ended it. Didn't rule out the possibility of doing an occasional one-off, but it won't be back at all on a regular basis. And he does a couple of seasonal shows as well. TrailerClash.com, they have a post about the whole thing. And I'd also recommend going back and listening to some of their archives.
Oh, of course. Especially the April Fool's Day episode.
Yes, from 2012, I believe.
I think so. Man, was that long ago? Yeah. All right.
Also, their last episode was a short one. It was about 15 minutes about the Good, the Bad, and the Ugly trailer, which was interesting.
Yeah. Oh, I've got to see that.
It was in honor of Eli Wallach's passing.
I've seen the Good, the Bad, and the Ugly trailer. It's ridiculous.
It was a very interesting review.
It's like all multicolored and flashy and shit. It's kind of like, it's like a Terry Gilliam cartoon almost for that movie.
I'm gonna have to see that again. So anyway, you know, they've been a kind of our sister show for a while now, so just wanted to give them a proper send off. All right, so on to some news. This from comicbook.com. Kevin Smith reveals Clerks 3 now has financing due to Tusk.
All right, I was hoping you would bring this up because I didn't get a chance to read it. How the fuck did Tusk failing lead to Clerks 3?
I'll read the article or a portion of it first.
Okay.
While Kevin Smith might be taking a beating over his new film Tusk, not exactly setting the box office on fire, the director took to his Hollywood Babble On podcast to defend the film and explain how it actually resulted in him getting financing for another highly anticipated film. In explaining why he's glad that he made Tusk, Smith added, "Everything in my life would suck right now if I hadn't made that movie. I'm back in movies now. I've got 3 lined up. And this is the fucking grand news. Tusk was the absolute bridge to Clerks 3. Because of Tusk, I got my financing for Clerks 3. Smith continued, "And honestly, that would not have happened. A year ago, I was trying to fucking desperately get Clerks made for the 20th anniversary, and that desperation, I must have reeked of it. Because I couldn't fucking find money and shit, but it was Tusk. It was people going, holy fuck, what else do you have? And I was like, Clerks 3, done. So everybody was like, he failed. Thank you, I failed into Clerks 3. So never trust anybody when they tell you how your story goes. You know your story, you write your own story."
Well,
the part I cut out, he made Tusk for $3 million. Right. So even though it bombed, it still was in the black.
Well, wait a minute. How much did they honestly expect that movie to do?
Well, yeah. I get the impression it was more of a passion project.
Right. I mean, when we talked about it, it was kind of an abstract concept. It almost sounded like there was like a magical thing working where this guy turns this dude into a walrus.
It was more of a human centipede sort of deal.
Yes! I see the ads and I'm kind of like, I love Kevin Smith. I don't think I can do this, though.
This is probably going to be the one Smith movie I don't see.
Well, I haven't seen Jersey Girl either.
I unfortunately have.
For the same reasons I don't want to see this. The horror. The horror. Anyway, so I don't know if I could sit through this. If it's that, like, you know,
yeah.
The transition just seems a bit too rough for me.
Yeah.
I'm pussing out on this one.
But the impression I get is that because Tusk bombed but still made a profit,
that people... it didn't bomb.
It underperformed for Smith. I mean, obviously, it didn't technically bomb if it made a profit, but...
Right, exactly. The concept of, you know...
But it underperformed.
Right.
And he was still able to profit.
For a movie about torture,
yeah.
It underperformed. Mutilation.
So, the impression I get is that people are basically saying, okay, we'll give you the money because you can make it cheaply enough that it won't matter if it doesn't do well. Like with Tusk.
But I remember us talking about this a while back, and it sounded like this abstract, magical, poetic thing. It
sounded fascinating until I saw a trailer.
It did. Then I saw a trailer, and it was kind of like, "Ooh, I
Yeah.
don't know. I want to see it, but I just don't know if I can do it."
Yeah, same here.
I think it gets a little too, yeah.
Despite its infamy as a bad movie, I've never seen Human Centipede because I read the plot summary on Wikipedia and that disturbed me.
Well, right. The concept of that. I mean, it's probably a lot worse than Kevin Smith's, of
Of
course.
course.
The concept of Human Centipede. And I just don't think I could do that one either.
Very similarly, I watched the trailer for Tusk and that disturbed me. I know the
Yeah.
movie's only going to be worse.
I have a feeling it's going to be worse, too.
I still get creeped out on occasion because of Black Rainbow. I don't need to add another movie to that list.
I didn't think Black Rainbow was that creepy. I have to go back and watch that again.
It was the whole Blackpool bit and
Oh.
the removal of the appliances.
All right. Well, I that's different though. I mean, that's something, somebody uses, they have, it's, they're adjusting for something. This, I mean, just the whole mutilation thing, I don't get the point of why you'd want to sit through
Anyway, on to
Anyway.
this week's movie, which is from 2013, I Declare War, and of course the impromptu plot summary, sponsored by your childhood. It was probably a lot more disturbing than you remember.
And also brought to you by Red Balloons, the training wheels for red rum. Okay, so wow, it was just a blast from the past for me.
In many ways, yeah. And more for me. But we'll get to
Oh,
that.
oh man. All right, so we have kids that play war often, apparently. It's like you as the movie goes on, you gather they do this, who knows, almost daily.
Seems like they almost have a tournament going.
Yeah. Like daily, weekly, not really sure exactly when they're all available and when they do this. And it begins, a fairly normal competition. Although they've mentioned that one person has won, his being the general, has won six times in a row. And well, this is a pretty big matchup because he's, of course, going to try to win every time. Now, the general on the opposing side, they really don't get into his track record much. You kind of get the feeling that if you don't win, they rotate. You get to be another person becomes a general, I'm guessing. It's kind of one of those deals it's felt like. But, they only explain the rules so much at the very beginning of the credits, and none of that is factored in. But anyway, he's thinking of ways to try to overcome this kid PK, who has won six in a row and is looking to do seven. Imagine if they do it weekly and it's been like 2 months almost of this one kid just dominating in this. But anyway, that seems to be an accepted fact. He's treated as the boy genius, watches Patton and stuff after school for
Every day, I
kicks,
get the impression.
or every day. And then so he's trying to come up with ways of beating him, but in the middle of this, there is a mutiny, which apparently has never happened before in their competition, that his lieutenant, his pretty much his number one,
Not PK, his opponent.
yes, his the opponent, right, because
Quinn, his
the
name is.
PK has everything under control on his side, and everybody will do whatever he says, no matter how terrible or ridiculous it is. But Quinn, on the other side, who's trying to formulate a way of winning, gets taken out by his own man, who I'm gathering was a general in the past, maybe few competitions, and is
Possibly a
probably the
very unsuccessful one, yeah.
right, probably the bulk of those six losses. And he also decides to throw a lot of the rules out the window
Because he has a personal grudge against PK.
because he has a personal grudge to settle. Really, this movie is not about war in the least, if you think about it.
Well, it is and it isn't.
It is and it isn't, but it is about everybody having their own agenda to work out here. And Skinner, who is the boy who mutinies, he takes a prisoner, which it's not forbidden in the rules,
But it's generally not done.
but it's a pretty dick thing to do,
Yeah,
not
too.
kill somebody, to literally tie them up and to really put torture to somebody, threaten them with a knife. I
And
mean,
again,
not.
I feel the need to point out these are kids.
Right, these are kids that are just, I mean, you kind of get the sense at the very beginning that things are starting to go off the hinges. Even on PK's side, one of the kids is ready to actually beat up another kid that they've killed. But PK, of course, is, being on the winning streak, has no problem with the rules, wants to keep the status quo, and, lets him go and play by the rules. But on the other side, just the constant losing is enough to drive this other kid, and of course, the loss of the friendship, which you kind of start wondering if it is about the losses, getting in the way of that friendship or not. But he like actually starts physical violence, not play violence, real physical violence against PK's newer best friend that actually you don't even re he, they weren't even aware that they were once friends until the very end.
Juan didn't know that, the new best
Right.
friend.
Quan, the newer best friend, didn't even realize that the two were once friends until the very end and the final climax. So that being said, they play war, and I guess you can really say hilarity ensues with the one side plot, of
There's a side
course.
plot. Yeah, I was getting to that.
There's a girl for the first time ever on the field of battle, and she's on Quinn's side, and she, of course, is absolutely in love with Quinn, where she's having doing very young thing of having imaginary conversations with him and how much he would love her and stuff and go to France with her and whatnot. But when Quinn is killed, she stays behind to try to win. And what I'm gathering is she wanted to win both flags to bring to Quinn.
To take out PK because he was the opponent and Skinner because he was the one he mutinied.
Right.
And she basically goes on a killing spree at that point.
Well, not only goes on a killing spree, she also pits people against each other. She knows one boy on Skinner's side has liked her, so she comes on to his friend
To play them against each
to
other.
play them against each other and make them make one easier to take out than the other, and to have them dwindle in numbers. Now, actually, the other detail I left out of the plot that should was important was that that Quan actually escapes successfully from Skinner, makes it back to
Very
PK.
dramatically.
Yes. Makes it back to PK, and PK sends him back to Skinner.
Yeah.
And to make it easier to make sure that Skinner will stay in one place and for them to attack. Should I address this point now or just say hilarity ensues?
Already ensues. We'll get
Hilarity
around to
ensues.
all of this.
Okay, because it's a point that I really need to address there.
Now, the first thing that really sticks out, they're all kid actors. Nobody
Yes.
is over 20, yet almost all of them are perfect. The performances are brilliant.
They are. Some of
There's
them are
one
real.
weak link, the kid who plays Kevin, Quan's brother. He's not as good as the rest, but the rest are amazing.
Some of them are a bit weird and awkward, but then again,
They're
that's a weird
kids.
and awkward age.
Yeah.
More than the acting, the biggest distraction I thought from their age was the script itself. Like the dialogue was a little too grown up.
It's a war movie. If you look
Yeah.
at it, it perfectly mirrors a conventional war movie.
A kid wouldn't say seduce.
No, I bought that. They just learned a
No.
word.
No.
Yeah, well.
That is not a word a kid throws around. She's trying to seduce you. Come on,
I
man.
think I knew that word at that age.
Well, you knew it, but would you really use it amongst the guys?
I believed that Skinner would, because he liked to show off how smart he was.
What? I don't even think it was Skinner. I think it was
It was Skinner. The first time, at least, it was Skinner.
oh yeah, Skinner used it, and then one of the other
One
boys
of his
used it.
lieutenants used it, Frost, I believe. And I think he just used it because Skinner used it.
Could be, could be.
I didn't have a problem with that.
It just seemed like a very unnatural thing for a boy to be saying amongst the guys. But Skinner, you have a point. Skinner is a very unnatural boy.
Yeah, very, very.
Yeah.
I also thought it was nice that they established the rules that they're playing with during the opening credits.
Well, yeah, there's the ground rules. Yeah, they're written on, the loose leaf paper
Now,
in the credits.
there's one thing you forgot to mention, which is kind of a big deal in the movie. They're shown carrying real weapons for most of the film.
Well, it's not a plot point.
Well, true. It's more of the
It's a
setting.
stylistic point, which is interesting, although there were a couple moments where I didn't know whether they had a real weapon or not.
There is a little inconsistency between when they show the wood weapons, the sticks they're actually carrying, and the real weapons.
Yeah.
If it looks like a real weapon, it's supposed to be a real weapon. There are actual explosions and bullets. And to me, that made it very disturbing because it shows the realities of war juxtaposed with these kids and reminds us that, that's what we were thinking of at that age when we were playing this stuff.
Of course.
So it's relatable because we've all done it, but it's
Yeah.
also kind of creepy and disturbing because of those realities. They show characters dying, in fantasy. In the same sense that they show the real weapons as a fantasy, they show the dying as a fantasy.
Yeah.
But you see kids get shot, get blown up.
I think the one weapon I was confused about was the crossbow.
It was a real crossbow. The
So
only
wait a
time.
minute. She really did shoot.
No. It was in her head, it was a crossbow. She was carrying a stick.
Okay.
They were all, in reality, carrying sticks. They showed that occasionally.
Yeah.
When the one kid picked up the little log and said
It's
it'll
a
make a great
bazooka.
staff or a bazooka or whatever, and then
Yeah.
later he's got a bazooka on his
Of
back.
course,
That
yeah.
was the log he picked up.
Yeah. I mean, I got that. But the crossbow, I didn't catch the stick. So I thought she had a real crossbow for a while there.
Well, that's the thing, is they were very inconsistent about when they showed the fake weapons.
Right. It depends on when they were imagining.
At one point they show, I think it was Frost, or no, it was the Catholic one, the altar boy, in his head turning a weapon into another kind of weapon, and then he turns to this, two sticks that look like a mounted gun, and he closes his eyes and thinks real hard, and it becomes a mounted gun.
Yeah. Can't quite understand him because, I mean, you could understand him if it was a real war movie, but yeah.
Well, that's the point, is it mirrors a war movie. And it shows how insane these kids are in that they match a war movie.
And really, his agenda, of course, is that he just wanted to be loved. Which
Skinner?
really, yeah, well, no, Altar Boy.
Oh yeah. Altar Boy.
Yeah, Altar Boy and Skinner pretty much were very much alike in that aspect, only they had different ways of going about it.
Altar Boy was just kind of passive.
He's just like, I'm here, hopefully somebody likes me. Does it make me eat shit?
I also saw a post on the IMDb forums that was interesting, and I don't necessarily agree, but they said that the movie was a commentary on international relations in that PK represented the US, Kwon, because he's half Korean, represents South Korea, and extrapolated out from there.
I don't know.
It's interesting, and it kind of fits. It actually fits quite well.
Then who was Skinner?
Good question. I should have read it through.
Right? It doesn't make any sense.
I just thought it was kind of an interesting take on it. So that's the thing I like about the movie, is there are a lot of possible interpretations. A lot of people think it's just a bunch of kids playing games. I see it as a little more sinister and disturbing.
It really is, I think, just the kids playing the game. The kids playing the game. Is the backdrop for like this incredible character study of the kids and their goals and their agendas and just what they want to do in life and how they go about it.
But putting in the real weapons, I think, is what makes it a little darker for me.
Well, yeah, because it would be a dull as hell movie if they did just for if it was real, just sticks.
Possibly, possibly.
Yeah, not the way we played
I also thought
it.
maybe it was set back in like the 70s until they showed the cell phone. Because frankly, if these were kids today, why aren't they inside playing video games?
Well, right. Yeah, that is like one of the most unrealistic parts of this. There are not many kids that get to just play, go out in the woods and play.
I mean, our generation did it in the early 80s, but I don't know if they really do that anymore.
Oh man, I mean, some kids that that I'd played with like this, I think they did it like I don't know how often, but they would go like out deep into the woods in like Jackson or something, Pine Barren kind of thing, and just for the day, and then like have a campfire at night and stuff, and they just did that all the time.
I was more of a, one-on-one case. It was me and one friend who just, had our wooden guns or wooden swords and that sort of thing, and would just go at each other.
Well, yeah, I mean, it was kind of we didn't just play that all the time. We would either do, Dungeons and Dragons, or we would or football, or army or whatever, I think that's what we called it.
Now, I did think it was interesting that they established that Quinn was kind of an asshole before Skinner killed him. He wasn't exactly a nice guy.
Well, I mean, he was just a dumb kid,
So, you're kind of on Skinner's side a little bit because he just wants to bend a few rules. What's the problem?
Like he, he's clueless that this girl likes him. She's elected to go out there in the middle of nowhere with them to hang out, and that usually only means one thing. He just didn't have a plan really to do anything to beat PK.
Yeah, true. And Skinner was a little more ambitious and just wanted to bend a few rules, and Quinn just shut him down. So when he mutinies, you kind of understand why, but then he just gets so much worse.
Well, you kind of wonder why it didn't happen in the first, sooner, that people mutinied like that. Especially when it's the mark of the red, water balloon that marks people dead.
Right. And just seeing Sikowski, I think his name was, and Frost, his little minions, who just buckle when Skinner takes over and just become lapdogs.
Yeah.
Loved that, straight out of a conventional war movie.
More Orwellian, I thought, the two, just falling in line immediately.
Good point, good point. But the Catholic soldier trope with Altar Boy, very war movie. There's always that, one Catholic guy.
Yeah. There was the one, the intellectual in Saving Private Ryan. I don't think he was a Catholic. I think he may have actually been an atheist. I
Oh.
don't know. But he was an intellectual, and he was out there just, covering it, and and he was just all like, "What the fuck?" Just paralyzed.
And I liked how Jess's barrage of questions at Skinner when he takes over just completely show that he doesn't have what it takes either.
What's up?
When Skinner mutinies and Jess decides, okay, she's going to side with him, for the time being, or make it look that way, and
Yeah.
she just barrages him with questions about the plan. It just shows that Skinner doesn't really have it either.
Well, you kind of have to wonder about PK's leadership abilities too in the end. Like he didn't come off as very good either.
Well, he came off as a psychopath.
Right.
More so than Skinner. Actually, Skinner wasn't a psychopath because he was very emotional. He was just disturbed and damaged. PK is a straight up psychopath.
Yeah, I mean, well, he keeps, talking about being a good student of it militarily, but his whole strategy in the end just didn't make any sense.
Quan escapes, he sends him back, basically, so they have an excuse to go to the other team's base.
Well, first off, you don't put your troops in harm's way if you don't need to. That's like, I mean, if you want to
That was the
talk about
gamble.
Like, being a good general. Second, It is always tougher to be the attacker than the defender. Why would you choose to be in the position of the attacker? Specifically set it up to have them defend and then launch an assault. And then three, rather than having one of your men captured when there's already like you're low on guys as it is, why would you give up the extra gun to be a captive?
Because PK was arrogant as hell.
Right.
And he was convinced that the plan was going to work, and it was the only way that the plan was going to work.
Well, I mean, that's my point. It was not a good plan. It wasn't a sound militarily speaking. It was not a good plan. Those were things that you would never want to do for someone who said that they were studying Patton so much. Those are things that Patton would have said, "What the fuck is wrong with you?"
And in the end, the thing that actually wins it for him, you kind of don't know if he planned it or not. He claims it was some old Chinese strategy, Caleb's timing with the plane. But I kind of got the impression that Caleb might have just come up with that on his own.
Yeah, I think so too.
And Quan just got really lucky.
I think you know what? That is probably the secret of PK's success, now that you mention it,
Is Caleb.
is Caleb.
And I had a feeling he was going to be important because they tease him throughout the movie. He doesn't really do much, but they keep showing him.
He's probably one of the weirdest ones out of the bunch because he doesn't say anything until the very end.
And he just says, come here, boy, to his dog.
Yeah, you didn't even know he could talk until then.
He's basically the ghost slash spy of
Yeah.
the team. He just keeps hidden. Nobody really sees him, and he doesn't do a lot. He just kind of lurks around until he takes out Jess when nobody else could. And then he finally, wins it for PK.
He was the only one who really didn't have an agenda on the whole field. He was just there to play the game, which is why he was the best.
Yeah, he wasn't distracted.
There were no distractions. There was no, "Oh, I'm gonna, prove this or prove that." Nope, I'm just gonna come here and
I'm gonna win the game.
I'm gonna kill him.
Now, I did think Joker's I-beams kind of broke the conceit of the movie at first. Instead of showing the real weapon, they showed an imaginary weapon, like a properly fictional weapon.
I think that would have been good to have done maybe once or twice, but I think they did overuse it a bit.
Maybe a little bit, but I also quickly realized that there was always that kid who you'd be playing cops and robbers, and he'd show up with a lightsaber,
Yeah.
or claim to have a lightsaber, or something like that.
I would have liked it if he had done other things like a lightning bolt
Yeah,
or,
just vary things up a little bit.
right. Yeah, lightsaber would have been hilarious. And of course, I love everyone's reaction in real life. Like, "Wait, what are you doing?" Because he's just staring at them.
And they kind of waited to play that, which I liked, because you wondered if they really saw it or if Joker was the only one who saw it.
Of course, yeah, he's on his own, and he was the kid that was coming up with the weird questions. Would you rather?
To put your dick in a dog's mouth
Right.
and become famous. I also liked Quan's overacted death when he's trying to get caught. That was funny.
Yeah.
That was great.
Which, boy, how dumb do the other kids have to be? Like, to not realize that was a setup until, like, they bring it to Skinner, and Skinner's like, "Wait, he wasn't hiding."
Well, they kind of play them as the idiot minions.
Well,
That's, again,
yeah.
it's a trope.
Well, right. They had. I don't know what this girl is doing out here. Why'd she want me to get a leaf?
And
Just hilarious stuff.
I did like how methodical Jess was.
Yeah.
They establish early on that she's a chess player, and that's how she approaches it. She just completely outthinks everybody throughout the movie until Caleb.
Well, I was gonna say, Altar Boy, she really didn't even have to outthink. He was just
He just
okay.
kind of backed off and didn't really want to be there.
"Oh, you want that? All right. Oh, here, you can have my gun."
And it did raise an interesting question of who was more unstable between PK and Skinner. Who was the crazier one?
You do have to go with Skinner.
Yeah, he was torturing the kid, but PK was about to cut the face of his best friend
He
to
did.
win the battle. And again, that's the question, is did he know Caleb was coming with the plane? Or did he just get lucky?
And okay, and that oh, military genius, you're handed a real weapon. You're the only person there who has a real weapon.
Yeah, and
Do you put it on your friend, or do you put it on the guy who's supposed to be your enemy?
well, it wasn't about defending his friend, it was about winning.
Right.
And getting Skinner to bow down and say, "You won."
Where was
And
the flag?
the way to do that was to cut Quan.
Where was the flag?
Jess had it at that point. Actually,
No.
Caleb probably had it because she'd already been taken down.
Skinner put the flag behind
Oh,
Quan.
right. Skinner's flag.
So he just cuts Quan loose, grabs the flag, and takes off.
But again, it's.
Holds Skinner back with the knife. He doesn't know that Altar Boy was an idiot or just didn't give a shit. He could have just won it straight up. There, I mean, to play into Skinner's weird game was like, wow, he's not very smart.
See, I don't know if it's a matter of intelligence or just craziness and arrogance.
Well, yeah, there's craziness and arrogance that you would actually harm somebody for just a game.
Because it was not so much about winning as getting Skinner to submit. He could have cut Quan loose and grabbed the flag, yes.
Right.
But by going along with it, he gets Skinner to admit he won, to bow. It was a power trip. And he's a general. It's all about power. Skinner was all about power.
Yeah.
That's why I don't see a problem with the believability there. I understand PK's actions in that scene are believable to me because he was
Well,
about the power. He wasn't about winning.
they're believable, but the thing is, it's the mark of a kid who's been told he's so intelligent that he no longer uses that intelligence. That he believes that whatever he comes up with is just genius and is going to work. Despite, oh, you've got the advantage of men. Let's give them one of our men so they can be on defense, which is a tougher attack to make.
But it would have proved him the great general that he believed himself to be.
Well, in reality, if Skinner were just playing the game, he would have just killed them both and won.
Oh, yeah. But Skinner wasn't playing it either.
Right, he wasn't really playing the game. That
He had his
that's the
personal
thing.
agenda.
The quote unquote war is really just a backdrop for this teenage drama in the end. It's kind of just this background character, the war, that runs throughout it.
And I liked how they were able to take that teenage drama and mirror an actual war movie with it, complete with weapons that, again, made it really disturbing for me.
Well, yeah, and the kid in the beginning, I can't remember his name, the one that died, like really, the one that started beating up the one kid first.
The blonde hair, yeah, the one. Actually, there were two names in the credits. I couldn't remember who they were. That was one of them, yeah.
His makeup was definitely the same makeup that Kurtz had in Apocalypse Now, like the green, the light green with the black. I mean, there's camouflage makeup, yeah, but the way he had it was just
Definitely a nod,
straight
yeah.
up nod to Colonel Walter Kurtz.
And really, PK was Kurtz in a big way.
I would think Skinner was
Oh,
more of
yeah,
a
Skinner,
Kurtz.
you're right. I meant to
Yeah.
say Skinner, I had the wrong name. Yeah, Skinner was definitely Kurtz.
Yeah.
And in effect, it was very Heart of Darkness.
Well, yeah, and he takes up on his own out there, but of course there were no natives to convert.
Well,
Just
they weren't going to go whole hog Heart of Darkness. It wasn't a remake. It was a nod. It was an interpretation. Oh, bit of trivia. Co-director, guessing on the pronunciation here, Jason Lapierre, let's say that,
Yeah.
wrote the script 10 years ago and based it on his childhood experiences of playing war with a bunch of people, saying almost everything that happens in this script is autobiographical or inspired by things that actually happened.
No shit, really? He had a kid that went that nuts?
Well, see, that doesn't surprise me. I knew lots of kids who were that unstable when I was young.
I don't know, man.
Skinner was completely believable to me because I knew Skinners when I was a kid.
I kind of knew kids that would go that, well, not that would go that far, that you could see going that far, but never actually going that far.
I've seen a few who did go close to that. The only parts that were a little unbelievable to me were Quan burning Skinner to get away. But that was a great scene, so I'll
Yeah.
allow it. And Caleb actually was a little unbelievable to me. He was the one who was a little too smart.
Well, yeah, he was like the fucking deadly assassin. He was like the special forces guy, and he's just this kid.
But it was a great plot device.
Yeah.
All right, I'm done with my notes.
Yeah, I am too.
On to sequels and remakes. There haven't been any. There
Man,
really can't
this.
be a sequel. There's really no point to a sequel.
Like, what? A sequel. Not a sequel, but really, like, what happens after this, you know?
Well, the big question there is between Quan and PK.
Right. You know, and I think PK really, I think he understood the error of his ways by the end of this, actually.
Really?
I think he really did see just that it had gone too far, and
I didn't get that impression.
that's why he's kind of like, well, watch whatever you want, you know, kind of thing. He's starting to plead with Quan to stay.
Well, because he's about to lose his best friend, so he's getting desperate. I really didn't get the impression that he saw the error of his ways. It kind of seemed like he was just as arrogant as he had always been. He was just desperately trying to keep his best friend.
Yeah, you could interpret it that way, or that he saw himself as, you know, turning into Skinner, you know, and not wanting that life.
Possibly.
I kind of that's how I felt about it at least. But yeah, you're right that it is left for interpretation, definitely.
I think it's a question of do you want the happy ending or the down ending? You know?
Well,
Do you
though,
want them to have learned or not?
if you're a kid and you see what happened to Skinner here and just how fucking nuts he is, maybe that might scare the shit out of you.
Yeah, I can. Yeah, maybe.
And the fact that he cut him, he really cut him.
Yeah.
It's like, what the fuck is wrong with me?
And he didn't jump, it was deliberate.
Of course it was. Yeah, he wanted to win that badly that he was willing to cut his own friend for it, even though the fucking flag was right behind his back.
Again, it was about power, it wasn't about winning.
You just wanted like a bigger kid to come along and beat the shit out of PK to like make him understand like what he was doing there, you know? I mean, but how is power cutting your own friend, doing what Skinner tells you to do? It doesn't
Because
make any sense.
it would get Skinner to say you won, which is what he wanted.
Right. It's, you know what? That was the equivalent of if he had actually, if Ultra Boy had actually eaten the dog shit.
Yeah. Very much.
There is no power in eating the dog shit. Those are words to live by.
But PK saw it that way because, again, it would get
Oh yeah.
Skinner to submit. Yeah,
Right.
my point is not that he made the right decision, but that he made an understandable decision based on his mindset.
Which
It fit the
means
character.
he was more gullible
Yeah.
than Altar Boy, who you were worried that he might have actually went and tried it, you know, because he was like kind of looking at it like, wow, I could have a friend if only I did this. And of course, the answer was no, you weren't going to have a friend.
See, I knew he was okay when Joker later posed the question of, would you basically get a blowjob from a dog or live without computers for the rest of your life? And PK was trying to define the question, and he looked at Alter Boy, and he just says, "No
No
computers,"
computers.
like without a second thought.
Right, of course.
And then I realized, okay, he's not going to eat the dog shit. He's okay.
Yeah.
All right, on to Brains.
On the brains.
I love this movie. The only flaw really is the acting of that one character, Kevin, PK's brother. Everything else about it is brilliant. I'm going five.
It is quite the head trip. I think I would have preferred a bit more of the war than in the I Declare War, but I think it's something you should see still. I give it four.
All right. And what have we learned?
That God is gay.
And I learned that there's no relationship between social status and dog blowjobs.
Oh, kids. I think there's one last question about this past movie, though, before putting it to rest, that we need to obviously rest here.
Okay.
And you know what? I don't even have the answer for my own personal thing here, but which character were you in this?
Probably Quinn. 'Cause I was definitely, the one in charge, but I wasn't PK, and I definitely wasn't Skinner.
Thinking about it, I'd actually say I was Caleb, because the one time I did go out with all the other, army kids into the deep woods, they had given me the assignment to do a suicide run up the middle, and I was just kind of like, "Fuck that! I'm gonna go around the back." But the problem was going around the back meant I was in this massive, impenetrable amount of underbrush that I just completely got stuck in.
Ouch.
Like, not like stuck where I couldn't move, but I had hacked my way in deeply. I just didn't give up until I was completely lost from the rest of the group for all day, which is why they probably never had me back now that I think about
Yeah.
it. But hey, what can you do?
All right, so until next time when we'll be reviewing Boondock Saints 2. It's been a while since we did the first one. It'll be interesting to go back to that series.
Oh, yeah.
Go to zombietakeout.com, check out the album art, the episode description, of course the episode itself, which you're already listening to. Links to find us on Facebook, Twitter, Google Plus, and YouTube. Links to subscribe via RSS and iTunes. Please leave us a rating and a review on iTunes. We'd really appreciate it. You also find the movie list, every movie we've reviewed so far, and every movie we're going to review. Getting toward the end of that, we're going to have to fill some more in soon. The request form, if you've got a movie you'd like to hear us review, please leave it on the request form. And of course, the recommendations list. Glad this one made it. I really, like I said before we started recording, wasn't sure which way you were going to go on this
I was kind of, I was, 3.5, 4 kind of down the way, but it's such a great character study
Yeah.
that, yeah, you gotta see it.
You can also email us at zombietakeout@gmail.com or leave us a voicemail at 414-368-ZTO1 or for the alphanumerically challenged, 414-368-9861. Of course, always remember that you will always be calling from the middle of Milwaukee, and until next time, always remember, never forget, wherever you go in life,
There
there you
you
are.
are.
What are you doing after the war?
You're coming over and we're eating pizza and watching a movie.
What movie?
Patton.
Again?
Because I couldn't fucking find money and shit. Because I couldn't fu They're bleeping out the curses, so it's I'm
Oh.
trying to plug them in because, he's not gonna bleep them.